And you've been watching The Politics of Trees right here on Kansas City PBS. Hello, I'm Nick Haynes. As you've been watching at home, we've been watching here at the Kansas City Plaza Library with many of your friends and neighbors. And with us are some of the experts and the filmmaker himself, Michael Price. Also with us is Sarah Crowder, who you saw in the film. She's a certified arborist, urban forester, and director of operations at Bridging the Gap. And we have decision makers from both sides of state lines, city Councilwoman Melissa Robinson is one of the 13 votes that control everything in Kansas City. She's also the president of the Black Healthcare Coalition, is now stepping in as president of the Urban League. And you still found time for us?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Also with us from the largest city on the Kansas side, Overland Park, City Councilman Logan Healy, who juggles complaints about potholes, trees being cut down, and up until last fall, complaints from residents anxious about whether the Royals will move to his city. That's what he does every night and weekend. But during the day, I like that, we get to that in a moment. He's executive director of the Heartland Conservation Alliance. We also have a fifth panelist, and that is you. Come to the microphone at any time. We're going to take your questions as well during the course of this experience. But Michael Price, this is the 12th film you've done for us, the 12th documentary. What was the biggest unexpected surprise that you learned along the way, having spent pretty much the last year of your life working on this?
I'd say it's probably my discovery as to how much trees actually do for us. Trees, as it says in the film, they help clean our air. They help bring shade to our neighbourhoods. They help reduce the amount of stormwater runoff as well. They do all of this for us. There's some maintenance involved, of course, but by and large, it's free. The second thing, which was a revelation to me, if I may, Nick, is this idea that in our area we have these vast forests. We have them in the south, around Minor Park, and there in Swope Park in the east, and then the Lime Creek Forest in the north. And we should think of these forests and the services they provide. They're like the if you could put it this way, the lungs of Kansas City, Missouri.
And this, as something else you learned along the way, of course, is every time you were out talking with people, is how much people absolutely love their trees, and that's shown here with such a packed audience with us at the Plaza Library.
They do. I've made lots of films here in Kansas City about various things, but I've never made a film that's engendered so much passion. People love their trees to the point, as you saw in the film, where they name their trees. They regard their trees as their friends, and they care a lot about them, whether that tree is in their private yard or down the road in a wood.
Sarah, the biggest take-home from the documentary for me was actually one of your quotes, which quote was, in Kansas City, Missouri, there are no penalties on developers who cut down less than 1 acre of trees?
Correct. The ordinance currently says you have to have 1 acre of contiguous forest, so that's a pretty good-sized chunk of trees.
Were you surprised by that?
Yes.
Absolutely. So tell Melissa Robinson, I said you're one of the 13 votes that control everything in Kansas City. Why that 1 acre then? Isn't that a really high trigger point?
It is. And if I would have my druthers, obviously we would have a stronger ordinance. Anything that supports sustainability, that helps us to achieve our climate protection goals, we're in trouble. And it's really good to see everyone here tonight because, you know that you're not alone, that we know that we're in trouble together. We need to make a difference and to make a change. This was an ordinance that had a lot of negotiation. And in Kansas City, developers have a lot of power. And we have to begin to shift that power to the people.
Okay. What power then do developers have that the people in this room do not have? What is their superpower that all of these people here do not have?
It is their presence. This room is a beautiful room. Having these same individuals show up to city council when we're making these votes would be extremely powerful. Having those conversations, letting us know how many people in your neighborhood are registered to vote, and that we'll be making decisions with at the ballot box.
But are you worried, though, if you had a tighter ordinance that home developers, as we just saw in that video from Michael Price, will just vote with their feet. They'll just build over in Overland Park or another community.
No, I don't buy into that. I buy into a council that has a vision for growth. On the east side, there are a lot of houses that need to be rejuvenated, that need to be rehabbed, that we can still achieve the unit the units that we need to achieve by looking at the existing stock without tearing down and removing our urban forestry.
I want to get over to the Kansas side in just a moment. We're going to go to Logan in just a moment, but I really want, could you put us out of our misery? Because we have been learning, for instance, if Kansas City wants to pat itself on the back for loving its trees, why is the city so intent on tearing down, cutting down hundreds of mature trees in Washington Square Park to build a ballpark?
That, too, is an awesome question. I do believe, according to the information that I have, that a lot of those trees won't be impacted because they're looking more for the Crown Center District and not Washington Square Park.
Well, Logan Healy, remember in Overland Park where they wanted to build the ballpark, was considered, on the former Sprint campus there. And if you recall also, the city of Overland Park just rebranded, having what we were told is one of the ugliest flags in the country. They put a tree on the flag because that's how important it was to you. Mm-hmm. But yet, if you drive by the Sprint campus today, the former Sprint campus, people are getting angry at all of the trees that are being torn down there to put in all these new developments, from Andretti's race car tracks to Freddy's restaurants, tearing down all of those trees there. How does that fit with that branding, putting the tree on the flag when that's happening?
Well, I appreciate allowing...
We love props.
Allowing me to wave my flag, wave our flag. We wanted the red oak, which is our city tree, on our city flag because we are Overland Park. Park is part of our name. Very few cities across the country have park in our name. But I would say that we also have, I'm flying our flag, but we have a lot of room to improve when it comes to tree preservation and mitigation. Yeah. And it's not just the Asperia campus, it is all of the, you know, beautiful natural areas that we have in the southern part of our city. It's also the tree canopy that we're losing in the northern part of our city. And so we certainly, I know the documentary focused a lot on the Missouri side, but and it's not just Overland Park, but across the metro, we have a lot of work to be done on stronger tree preservation and mitigation ordinances.
We've been talking to a lot of cities and residents of different cities throughout the course of making this film. And it seems like a developer can basically come in and they can bring down the trees if they plant, you know, a couple of saplings in a different location, or we'll call it about right. But, you know, when you have 30-year-old trees, Sarah, you know, how many of those saplings does it take to get the type of benefits that Michael is talking about? If trees are about improving our health, cooling us as neighborhoods, I mean, is that an even trade?
No, it's not. To get that immediate benefit, we'd be talking about hundreds of trees, right? Because of the size of the canopy and the trunk. But probably that's not always feasible. 15, 20 trees potentially, right? And over 20 some odd years, maybe they would finally reach that. But what we're dealing with is mortality. So if we're not actively maintaining those trees, then they may not reach that potential.
We spoke about 2 weeks ago at the station. They had an international tree expert come to Kansas City from Amsterdam. And one of the things she said to me during an interview was, even to start seeing the health and cooling effects of a tree, they have to be a teenager. A tree has to be a teenager. Yet we also told the majority of trees in urban areas don't live beyond 13 years old. So why is that?
Well, that study is addressing trees that are in more of our dense urban areas. But so we're dealing with heat, we're dealing with low soil volume, the tree has to have a place to grow. We're dealing with water and our changing heat temperatures, climate, lack of rain, and all of those things.
Yes. One of the things that we saw from the documentary, you see a lot of people who are saying how much they love their trees, and you can see them in their neighborhoods. And as Michael points out, many of them are in upscale neighborhoods. You know, if you're in a lower income part of our city, are you getting the same benefit from those trees? And are they maintained the same way? And is the city planting the same number of trees, for instance, in your district, Melissa Robinson?
we are looking at it from an equitable approach, but it does take organizations that are here on the stage to hold our feet to the fire to make sure that we're doing things in an equitable way. Just as a kid, I remember a big tree on the corner of 33rd and Jackson where I grew up, and I would sit and dream, you know, and with my little catalog, looking through all the things that I'm going to buy when I get money when I grow up. And so, yes, trees mean a lot to everyone that have the opportunity to experience them. But especially in the areas on the east side, when you think about the exacerbation and the disparities regarding asthma, especially childhood asthma. And we know from a city's perspective how important trees are because we're building a $300 million deck over I-670 because it's more populated, and we know that the health issues with the highway are having a negative effect. And so we're having to build more green space. But in the urban area, it is more important because of the urban heat islands, because of the amount that people have to spend on their energy bills. Those trees provide that protection to help cool their homes. And so when we're looking at it from an equitable standpoint, I think it is important for us to center the urban community.
I have got tons of questions here, but I would stop the action at any point. If you have a question of your own, come to this microphone. Everyone says plant more trees, but are we planting the right ones? And are we doing enough to keep them alive? Overland Park, Logan, used a lot of its federal COVID money to replace more than 3,000 trees that had been infested with that sort of emerald ash borer that we now know about. But according to the Johnson County Post, city leaders in Overland Park worried all those replacement trees aren't getting the proper care and could die. So he did all that work, he spent all that money. What went wrong?
Well, it hasn't gone wrong yet.
Okay.
There's still time. If you take out the federal funding that we've recently put into our ash tree program, our per capita spend on urban forestry in the Overland Park is half the statewide average in Kansas. And I'm not sure the statewide average in Kansas is really where we want to be as a Tree City USA either. So I think for us going forward, we need to make sure that we are funding our forestry efforts appropriately. We have an upcoming urban forest master plan that is, we just got the first draft to the tree board on yesterday, Monday, that calls for a whole lot of different new efforts for the city and enhanced efforts for the city. And taking care of all those new trees that we diversified our canopy with while mitigating the emerald ash borer problem is going to be really important because those are street trees. They are supposed to be privately maintained, even though they are in the public right-of-way. And I personally would like to see the city take a more proactive approach to our street trees, treat them and all trees really as critical civic infrastructure. Yeah. I think that's probably a big part of this documentary. The thesis is trees are infrastructure, that we should treat them as infrastructure.
I'm going to get into that in a moment, but we have some terrific people with us who have their own questions.
Briefly, I want to say that I commend the city and government for planting trees, but we have to make sure we water them after they're planted.
Yes.
I love this. This is going to get where we're going to go next, sir.
All right.
This is important, isn't it?
It is. But I do want to say, as a homeowner in the Volcker neighborhood, which has beautiful, mature trees, the cost of maintaining those trees is exorbitant. Mm-hmm. So is there any hope from any organization or the city to get help to maintain those trees? I have a friend that spent $10,000 to remove a mature tree, and why would anybody plant a tree if you got to pay that much to cut it
down? This is perfect. Who's got a response to that, first of all?
As we plant a lot of these trees, especially street trees, we are requiring residents to put some skin in the game, to let us know that they're going to help nurture the tree, at least for the first 3 years. But we do have to look at how are we using things like, you know, rain barrels and other green technology to help us address the issue.
I know people in Overland Park who are seniors on fixed incomes who have left the city because they couldn't afford, Logan, to take care of the trees. Something happens with a tree, it's going to cost $3,000 or $4,000. It was all of these unexpected costs. Is there any sort of sense of cost sharing with residents? If trees are so important, is there any program to help residents keep the trees they have?
Not currently, but I think that gets back to we need to start treating trees as city infrastructure.
Well, we've actually got some funding right now. It's about to run out, but we got some federal dollars and we've been piloting a project to remove dead ash trees in particular in a neighborhood. We're about to run out of that money. We wanted to pilot it, see how it worked. It can function. We just have to find that funding mechanism.
Another part of this, back to the gentleman's question, really, are developers being asked to maintain the trees? Does Kansas City, for instance, hold these developers accountable 5-10 years down the road to see how many of those trees actually survived? Or are we just satisfied that the tree was planted?
We provide $100 million in tax incentives that we don't have any clawbacks on. So for trees, no, that would be a no. Yeah. So if we're not holding folks accountable for the actual taxes that they're...
Okay.
The answer is no.
So they can plant the tree and nobody cares after that, Logan, in Overland Park?
I'd say it's a challenge across the metro for enforcement of landscape plans, which are supposed to be held in perpetuity. I mean, if we required you 30 years ago to plant a tree, it's supposed to be there. But enforcement across the metro and including Overland Park, we don't go back and check. And we'd have a whole lot more trees across our community if we did go back and check.
Mm. Yeah, Michael.
So the way that the Kansas City Tree Preservation Ordinance works is to say, if you chop down an acre of trees, you could get away with planting 26. Well, how many trees are on an acre? Mm-hmm. Considerably more than 26, anywhere from between 100 to 600. I think that as well as the city planting the trees, the city should be educating people on what needs to be done to maintain those trees.
Yes.
And how to water the trees, when to water the trees. And I think you'd find that residents would take that upon themselves
if they knew
to do that. So education is something, for example, that Fairway does very well.
In the documentary, you mentioned that by 2053, we are projected to see in Kansas City heat indexes above 125 degrees. Sarah, are we planting the planting the trees right now? Are our cities and your own organization do? Are we planting for today or for the temperatures that we're going to be experiencing 30 years from now, less than 30 years?
We're definitely exploring tree species that you might find more in the Oklahoma or southern parts of Missouri range. It's a slow process, so we're not exactly jumping into that, but we are trialing that, and so is the City Parks Department.
In fact, at home, you may want to be considering trees that are currently native to Buenos Aires or Ecuador because of the climate change. Sir, you've been very patient. Your question, please.
Hello, my name is Jeffrey Johnson. I'm 17, and sometimes I walk from my school all the way down to this beautiful library. And sometimes I see these trees that are super overgrown and the roots have basically taken over the sidewalk. And so that has led to a loss of accessibility for sometimes me or sometimes maybe my neighbors who have accessibility issues. And so what I'm basically saying is that would you value cutting down a tree within that neighborhood to sacrifice accessibility?
You know, typically, I think we blame the tree for the mobility issues and tearing up the sidewalk and that sort of thing. And really, it's because humans planted the wrong tree, or they planted it in the wrong place, or planted it the wrong way, not allowing it enough space to move. So it's a delicate balance. I think there are innovative ways that people have been able to do both, it's a delicate balance, and the best thing is to do it right the first time.
So what is the most overplanted, overrated tree in our area, Sarah?
Red maple.
I'm Kelly Daniels, and I currently live in Overland Park. I built my house 33 years ago. And on the headwaters of the Blue River. And I've watched, as I've lived there, Overland Park, the city of trees, let developers clear cut entire forests, old growth forests across from me. Is there anything in Overland Park that you're planning on for tree preservation for these developers that are completely annihilating all the trees.
It's a great point. What it comes down to is getting a majority of the governing body and the mayor to support strong tree preservation. And
but you have a tree on your flag. They would automatically go for it, wouldn't they?
It's almost like sometimes politicians do things for show.
That's the tease for our program, by the way.
But Kelly, I appreciate what you do and your question. And it takes the people in this crowd, it takes the people watching to let their local government know what they want when it comes to trees. There's been a MARC model ordinance for tree preservation and native plant encouragement to the earlier question since 2020 or 2021. And I think Kansas City, Missouri is the only one that's taken a look at it across the whole metro. And so it takes residents, community members to just hammer folks. Yeah. We have open public comment at every city council meeting. Frequently, people don't ever come to those.
You said they don't work so well.
I've been to them. Okay. And it's kind of a show.
By the way, you can check out the 5 things you're probably doing wrong in your own yard in planting trees at kansascitypbs.org on our website. You can also join for a day a tree trimmer. And they climb the trees, and it's a really dangerous job. You can see that video also at kansascitypbs.org/politicsoftrees. Madam.
I mean, I think the city needs to make it a priority with other people who are digging holes and laying electric lines and pipes, that it's really critically important that they preserve the trees while they're doing that. Mm-hmm. I saw Spire doing some work on Linwood, where I personally, with some friends, planted 15 trees. And I just would like to know what the city does to try to make it clear to people who dig holes that preserving trees is a high priority here.
Is there any coordination?
I would say no for the tree, regarding preserving our tree canopy. No, and we do need to have more, we need to change our mindset as it looks at trees as infrastructure. And it does need to, people need to be held accountable and trained on how to do it, because I don't think that our contractors are trained on how to preserve the tree.
And that's what really infuriates residents though, isn't it?
Yeah, and I would say that at least in the state of Kansas, probably Missouri too, the utilities have a lot of ability to do things without any notice to the city within that right of way. But with our utilities and also with developers, I mean, I think of it as comparing a mature, healthy tree to a brand new street. If a utility company or a developer or home builder comes in and tears up a brand new city street, we're gonna make them replace it. Mm-hmm. And we ought to do the same with a mature, healthy tree that they destroy.
Okay.
Although, of course,
thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Sarah, for all of us at home, what is the biggest mistake we make in our own yards?
I would say right tree, right place was commented. So know and understand the space that you want to plant your tree, but also do your research. You might go into a nursery and you're given the choices that they're selling. That's the fastest selling tree. That may not be the best tree. So figure out what you want and then go looking for it, not what they have to offer on sale.
If every viewer did just one thing differently after this conversation, what would it be, Michael?
If every viewer did one thing differently?
Yes.
My goodness.
What would you want it to be?
I would say get out into those forests. Get out and explore some of those forests that we are fortunate enough to have in Kansas City, Missouri. They're amazing places. What a treat it was to go around that forest on that Saturday morning with Hagobo, who you see in the film, and that enormous stag stood up. I mean, these things are unforgettable. Take
you know what was unforgettable to me from that film? Your poet, David, and he's in
David.
The front row.
There he is.
Come on, David, stand up for us. I just love this man. I just love him. I saw you coming, really. I don't live in the tree space. It was just such a wonderful, added, just amazing. Yeah. Thank you.
And Michael said it all. Get out in the woods.
All righty, thank you. Sarah. The one thing that people should take from this conversation that they would do differently, what would it be?
I would say from this, they should take this energy and this excitement, learn more about trees. If you're not advocating to your council members, maybe you're talking to your neighbors about things that you're seeing and yep. learn from each other.
And Melissa, you will be giving your private cell phone number to everybody in the audience. So we can talk to you directly about trees, right? And influence Kansas City.
Yes, definitely come to City Council on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Our meetings start at 9 a.m. on Tuesdays. And you could just stop in and talk to council members about the importance of trees on Thursdays at 2 o'clock. I know that those aren't opportune times, but we definitely need to be organized and raise a level of awareness.
And the last word goes to Logan Healy, our councilman from Overland Park.
Find out who your city council members are. Find out who your mayor is. Email them. Attend a city council meeting. Speak at open public comment if your city has it. A lot of cities also have tree boards, you know, so attend those meetings. Those are open to the public. And, you know, reach out to great organizations like Heartland Tree Alliance about how you can help as well.
And on that, we will say you have been watching The Politics of Trees with Michael Price and Sarah Crowder, and from Elected Politics, Kansas City Councilwoman Melissa Robinson, and Overland Park Councilman Logan Healy. And I'm Nick Haynes. From all of us here at the Kansas City Plaza Library, be well, keep calm, and carry on.
Support for The Politics of Trees is made possible by the William T. Kemper Foundation, Commerce Bank trustee, and the generous financial support of viewers like you. Thank you.